All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Inertia. I have the main man in the town who is prepping and cooking meals for the majority of Derry by this stage, Johnny Healy. And today I wanted to talk about how do we get food and prep it faster and more conveniently for people who, because let's face it, people in Derry they do night shifts, they do 12-hour shifts, they do rotas. People will say and talk about how they don't have time, they don't have the structure in their day to kind of be consistent with their meals and stuff. So I decided to contact Johnny. We could do a little podcast about meal prep, the benefits of it, the examples, the cooking examples, the equipment you need. So fingers crossed you get a wee bit out of this here. We all need to eat, we all need to train, we all need to sleep to look after our health. So firstly, people need that plan. We need to write it down. We need seeing it in actually in black and white will probably help you have more structure in your day and be able to figure out little time slots that you could maybe meal prep and be more consistent with your training and eating. So Johnny, my question is to you, how do we make cooking food and meals quick, convenient and tasty? Where would you start with that there?
What's a crack anyway?
It's happening.
Well, this is the whole thing, isn't it? It's how do we make everything convenient? We're definitely living in a world of convenience, so
yeah.
The easier things are, the better. And the less excuses we all have. Like, we still make them, and I still make them myself.
Yeah.
But basically, the best thing, I think, to making eating healthy and convenient is just basically being as prepared as possible.
Yes.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
And everything from your shopping to your cooking to the equipment you're using to what's in your cupboard, what's in your fridge, just mm-hmm. having everything sort of accessible at hand and basically knowing what you're going to do. Don't just pull out a pan and some ingredients and just start making something to the top of your head.
Yes. You do need to have that plan. And I guess at the start, there has to be that little bit of hard work to actually find out what you need to throw out. And that initial phase are probably the hardest part. But once you have that done, I guess then it'll come second nature down the line whenever you get into the swing of things, would you say?
Yeah, 100%. I suppose it's similar to going to the gym. At the start, you don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the more you go, the easier it gets. True. So it's really simple as that too, being in the kitchen. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you practice, the better you get.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about prioritizing as well. Maybe instead of sitting watching Netflix for an hour,
yeah,
spend an hour looking at a few recipes. Like, Google has a lot of answers out there.
Yes.
Even still in the kitchen today, I still use Google for a lot of stuff. Yes. If I'm ever struggling with a recipe, Google sorts me out in 2 minutes. Okay. And keeps me back straight back on track. So the answers are there.
What are you Googling with regards to a recipe?
If I'm looking, they say, for a curry that I've never done before,
yeah,
I'll Google just, let's just say a korma, for example,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go through maybe four different websites,
right,
and just sort of pull out the average. If they're all saying curry powder, turmeric, and cumin, for example,
yes,
I know that must be there because,
right, okay.
Now, if I go only one recipe and it's giving me a list of ingredients I've never heard, I'll try another two first, and then just find the middle ground roughly in between.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's it really. But I do about any recipe. If, like, let's say it's a traditional chili, con carne. If one recipe says butter beans and no other recipe says butter beans, more likely it's not butter beans.
Okay.
And I just go with the majority then, really.
Right, okay.
But, that's good. BBC Good Food usually always pop up and they're usually as good as it gets for the recipes.
Sweet. So, to get into the nitty-gritty of this, there's a couple of sections and prepping examples, like, we want to, as you said, there's some variables, there is some things that we can, you'll have to sacrifice, right? We're talking about the quality of the meat, we're talking about the flavor of it and stuff. Yeah. So say we buy in bulk and stuff, we're buying chicken, will we start with that there in the meats and stuff, and where would you get your stock, and where do you put it then in the kitchen? How do you kind of actually sort that out?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, it's one of the, obviously depends on your goal, you know, how strict your eating is, if it's just better choices or if you're trying to prepare for something more specific.
Mm-hmm.
But basically most of my shopping will probably come from, I do a lot of my veg shopping in Lidl.
Yes.
Or just because it is really cheap down there as well. And even the meat they do is pretty good too. They do decent beef.
It's local.
Yeah, it's Northern Ireland Farms anyway. And the thing is, as we'll probably go on day later, when you have to sort of, something has to give in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
It's either convenient. It's very hard to have flavor, convenience, and taste.
Yes.
Something has to give. So if I'm in Lidl, for example, I'll go for a ribeye, but what I'm giving up there is the calories, because I know that's high calories.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the suffering I'll choose for that product.
Right.
And then other times I'll choose, say, something a bit more leaner, mm-hmm. like a fillet of beef,
yep.
but I'm giving up price because it's more expensive.
Yes.
So you sort of have to choose what you want to prioritize.
Yeah.
And that, it's very hard to hit it all.
Uh-huh.
For me, anyway. Definitely, yeah, for me. Just because, obviously, working in kitchens, I'm used to eating really nice food.
Mm-hmm.
So something has to give.
You're not going to save a mountain of money on meat in general.
No. Like, no, it's not. Yeah, well, that air. But, I mean, you're not going to, if you're going to buy cheap quality meat,
yeah,
it's going to be hard for the pump flavor on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might get something cheap, which has lots of flavor, but it might be something, say, like
more
a chicken leg,
dense.
But it'll be more calorie dense, yes. Exactly. So you have to choose what, if you're willing to spend money, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
But if you're on a tight budget, you might either have to choose then what do you want, lack of flavor,
mm-hmm.
or spend more time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So something in them has to give. It's just whatever you have.
Okay.
Least of,
yeah.
You have to prioritize towards.
Yes.
If you're on a budget, you're going to have to choose cheaper,
mm-hmm.
and suffer when it comes to the cooking time or the flavor of it.
Yes.
But obviously I'm a chef, so my specialty is getting flavor and the food.
Yes.
Which takes time to practice. I'm doing it 10 years and I'm still learning every day,
yeah.
You know, so.
Still asking Google.
Still asking Google, yeah.
Right, cool. So I'm just going to assume that people, whenever we're talking about this, they don't have really any sort of nutritional or dietary restrictions, right? We'll just talk hypothetically, just to make things simple and easy. But we're buying, like, there's boxes of chicken that we can get, usually £20. All butchers are doing it nowadays, and you can buy that. I would say look at the, whenever you're going, have a source of mince or beef, then you're a fish source as well. Obviously have the different sources of protein.
Yeah.
And then we're obviously going to go for the variation of vegetables. Like you, as soon as you go into the store, they're going to be there at, near the front somewhere.
Ken Muslim, yeah.
No. So keeping it, if you're going to have leaner choices, make sure it's your greens, your broccoli, your asparagus,
yes,
kale,
exactly.
And then sort of for after exercises, they're more starchy veg, where you're talking maybe sweet potato, your baby boils, or rice pastas.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good variation. We could probably do a shopping list or something for people to kind of look at.
Yeah,
but,
I think so.
Taking that home, I've done it before where I've taken that bulk of chicken, I've taken like samples of, say, 5 chicken breasts, and I've froze that.
Yeah.
Or would you sort of prep more food at the one time, or would you kind of take it out in batches like that? And also give me examples of how you could conveniently, like you're saying, having everything ready. So maybe pre-chopping the veg and having that in the fridge. So those two examples were, what would you do with the meat and the handiest way to sort of
sort that
and then we'll move on to the veg and stuff.
Well, basically what I would do, let's say it's a Sunday, for example.
Yeah.
I would go and buy all the meat I need for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something you have to remember is whatever date is on the meat, let's say if you get it in the right time, now I know it obviously varies, you could get something that has a 5-day life on it.
Right.
Sitting in the fridge, the day you cook it, you'll have another 5 days. So you can basically have that product in the fridge for 10 days.
Right.
Obviously, it needs cooked before it goes out of date. So I would have, let's say you're buying the 20 bucks of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You have two options. What we would have done in kitchens is that they got, you can get the wee clear sandwich bags.
Yes.
And you can freeze breast by breast.
Mm-hmm.
So it means when you're lifting it out, you don't have to lift out a chunk of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of putting the whole black box on, means you're defrosting 20 breasts at once.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking out per
whatever,
portion.
Yes, whatever you
You
need.
Could, if you really wanted to be prepared, let's say you bought your beef buns as well, you do the same thing. Freeze it in batches of 100 grams. And you know every time you lift one, it's a portion.
Yes.
You know, or you could even have that sitting in the fridge. So it's basically breaking down and the portion sizes of what you're used to cooking or what your calories allow you to cook.
I get you.
Then, or you could do the other end of it. Let's say it's a Sunday. You have a couple of 3 hours or whatever day it is and you could cook everything.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, like I know Linus, they do the box of chicken, which I think is £19.
Mm-hmm.
But they also do a box of cooked chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same price.
Oh, okay.
Exact same weight. But obviously you have to, where you would fry up or say color up chicken for a curry.
Uh-huh.
This is sort of you're making a sauce and adding it.
Yes.
But it still saves a lot of time.
Yep.
And it saves a lot of mess. And it is cooked perfect. It's moist. It's
mm-hmm.
you know, it's good in that way. Like I would use it in the kitchen myself because it saves us time. You know, even us. Basically, what we do as a business is we try to save people time, give people healthy food, and give people nice food.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still taking any time-saving shortcuts we can as well by buying cooked meat when we can.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some recipes, like we can't buy cooked steaks because we cook in the order.
Yeah.
But if we can get away, if we're making a curry, we'll buy cooked chicken just because it saves us time. So we're taking the same principles as we're using as a business plan as well.
I get you.
But yeah, that's what I do. So either freeze it down in the batches you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's a breast per portion.
Yeah.
Freeze it down individual breasts, and you know on a Monday then you need 5 breasts for that week, lift out 5, sit them in the fridge the night before, and they'll be defrosted the next day.
Perfect.
And that's last thing now, if you have 7 days from the day you buy it, date the day you freeze it, so if you freeze it there and then, you will they still have 7 days from the day you lift it out.
Yes.
Because you froze it on that exact day. But if you freeze it 1 day before it goes out of date, when you lift it out, you have 1 day on it.
Yes.
Because all the freezing does is stop the bacteria growing.
Yes.
So you just have to treat that then. It's just a halting process. It just pauses it, basically now, from rotting.
See, for the chicken, if that was frozen, people would say let it thaw, but there's times there you can tell me if I did this wrong or not. But I just threw that in the oven whenever it was frozen, but I left it in the oven longer to make sure the center of it was cooked.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you could do that. All you're doing there is you're thawing it from a high heat.
Yeah.
So it might dry out. That's the only thing.
All right, okay.
But
it's not dangerous. I'm not getting...
No, it's not. As long as the temperature reaches 75 and above, you're not getting food poisoning.
Right, okay.
Only if it's off or it's under 75 degrees.
Right.
Basically, when it hits 75 degrees, that's the temperature bad bacteria dies at.
Right.
And that's why that's the safety regulation.
So that's a easier thing for me because I could just throw it in.
Yeah.
It'll be in a little bit longer so I can go and do other things while that's cooking. So that's, for me, that's quite convenient. And I don't have to wait for it to thaw either.
Exactly.
Which is another thing.
Yeah,
so.
But unless you, the only other option there is if you know you're going to be doing it the day before, it's thawing it the night before in the fridge.
Is there any benefit to doing that, or?
It just means it'll cook quicker the next day, that's all.
Oh, okay.
That's the only benefit, really.
Right. I get you.
Yeah, but it's all right. If you're cooking a whole breast, that's okay what you're doing. If you're chopping it up for a stir fry, you're not going to chop it up when it's frozen.
No, no.
So, you know, but yes. Yeah, so that's it really, but yeah. That would be the only benefit, I'd imagine.
Cool. Excellent. That's a couple of good suggestions there. Having everything out in portions,
yeah,
and sort of prep that way. As for vegetables, salads, stuff like that that you're going to have in the fridge, how would you sort of prep that and even storing it? What levels in the fridge? Because obviously there's a way of stocking the fridge too.
Yeah.
The meat would be at the bottom, or the
raw meat has to go at the bottom.
Yeah.
No. Partly because
I just throw it in anyway.
Most people do in the house. You know the way most fridges have the jars at the bottom?
Yes.
Put the meat down there.
Okay.
Because there's nothing below it. Now, usually, if you put it at the top, you have stuff below. Mm-hmm. And if, let's say, you have a bit of fruit below,
mm-hmm.
a bit of raw meat, health and safety regulations. Now, this is only in the catering industry. They'll yeah. say that because that's underneath, there's a chance that bit of fruit's been cross-contaminated with beef.
Yeah.
Now, I've never heard of anyone dying from it. Mm-hmm. But to be safe, it does no harm stocking it in the fridge. Yeah. And I find too that if you have veg in the drawers,
you're
less likely to eat. I still do it myself.
I know, yeah.
I have them in there and sometimes I go back 5 days later, I go, fuck, I tried, I bought that broccoli. And then, but now I just try to get in the habit of keeping all my veg and stuff yeah. right in front of me, eye level.
Yes.
And stuff maybe like the meat, you're never going to forget the meat. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to forget the meat. Yeah. And maybe a few beers, it doesn't matter if you forget the beer on there.
Well, they're in the door. They're
yeah,
in the door.
Exactly. Yeah, beside the milk.
Right. So, the veg you have. Now, yeah. In general, you're going to have the broccoli, maybe cauliflower, the cabbage, kale. We can list them off. Turnip, carrots, tomatoes, you know. That's just in general people are going to have, even spinach, but give us a few ways where you would maybe prep that. Would you put them ingredients kind of together as a salad, or would you chop them up individually and store them individually in Tupperware, or what's your thoughts on that?
Personally, I would do it to order, but
yes,
it's handy for me because I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Someone at home maybe, like, I would recommend, if you have the time, you buy the wee Tupperwares anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if you have the time, chop up an onion or a couple of onions. Say you get a bag of onions.
Yep.
Chop the whole thing up and put it in there and close the lid tight and you know you've chopped onions in there.
Yes.
Same with carrots. Broccoli can be cut on the florets.
Yep.
Cauliflower, cut on the florets. What else do we have? Spinach doesn't need anything done to it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in the bag. Most greens don't really need too much prep as such. And then the thing is, I wouldn't cook any of my veg until I'm about to eat it, unless I'm batch cooking, as in I wouldn't boil my broccoli, for example, and just leave it sitting back in the fridge in the hope to eat it that week.
Right.
Unless I'm putting it on the with a bit of chicken, with a bit of rice.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have it, mm-hmm. if you know, right, that's my lunch now, the next 4 days, I'm having broccoli, and then that's stacked up in a separate pile as a complete meal,
uh-huh.
if you know what I mean. I would take it, basically what we do in the kitchens is we get the ingredient from raw and take it as close to eating as possible,
mm-hmm.
without taking it over that line. So basically imagine a grid, which goes up to 100%. And you take it 80% away. So you've washed it, you've prepped it, you've cut it under the size of cooking, and mm-hmm. then that's when you stop. So you literally can't get any closer to cooking it without cooking it.
Yeah.
The next step is cooking. So you're just saving all that time rather than going home and starting to weigh out your beef, starting to cut your broccoli, let's say, mm-hmm. starting to cook your rice from scratch or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you've just made that one meal take twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you back to prioritizing your time on a Sunday, you could have that bulk of that prep done.
Yes.
So you've cut your time down by 2/3 probably.
Yeah.
Instead of that hour long meal, it's a 20-minute meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've already done the hard part.
Yeah.
When you have when you had the time.
Yeah.
To do it.
Aye. And where in the fridge are you storing that stuff? Is it?
If it's prep meals, veg doesn't really matter where it's stored.
Right. Okay.
As I say, as long as the meat's at the bottom, anything else can go anywhere.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just somewhere you're going to see it probably.
Right.
Is the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Prep meals, same thing. Just have them stacked up. Like, a guy was getting meals from us, And he sent me a picture of his fridge, and he had it laid out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, proper setup.
Cool.
Like, I've never seen anyone do that before with our meals, like, and he had it set up. He had
That's exactly good.
What he was ticking every day. Mm-hmm. And a wee sheet in front of the fridge of what he was having, what day, what breakfast, what dinner.
That's like, even there now, I'm even thinking that could be a scenario where a mother's away out to work or something, and she could prep for her son or daughter coming home from school, and they then have that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, like, it's just having the, yes, it may not be fresh, but at least there's something there that you know that they're going to eat and
yeah,
have
exactly.
it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I just think it's
something I do personally myself. It sort of sounds, I wish I didn't have to do it, but when I give myself more structure, I find myself just, things just go better, as in, like, my eating's better.
Yes.
When I prepare myself and say, right, honest, on a Monday I'm doing this, on a Tuesday I'm doing this, on a Wednesday, I just, it works for me personally.
Yeah.
And it works for my partner, and it works for my brother, who I also talked to it about.
Yes.
It's just, I basically give myself a rota for every hour of the day of what exactly I'm doing, from my alarm, they getting ready, they preparing something, they going to work, they driving, they training, they this, they this, they this. It's a bit sort of, geez, that's no way of living, but when you want results,
true.
If it works, it works,
true.
You know.
Other way,
and it's only to get to a certain level, and then you can take a foot off a gas a bit.
Yeah. I think the other way is, what are you doing? You're walking around maybe like a zombie. Just
that's it. And then, like, that's the thing. And me and my girlfriend, was like, funny enough, we were struggling this week. We were health eating.
Yes.
And it was the same thing. We just weren't prepared. And we were just talking about it last night. And we were just saying, you know, we're going to a shop last minute.
Yes.
We're hungry because we haven't ate.
Yep.
And we're going, just grab a bag of crisps while we're here. Yep. You know.
Yep.
We're letting ourselves fall into the trap. So.
Yep.
Really, it was just about being prepared in every aspect you can. 100%.
Really quickly,
yes.
Say we have our meals prepped and stuff. Adding a little bit of flavor into them. I've always kind of used that sea salt and black pepper. That always really helps for me. But other things that would maybe help, add a little bit of flavor. Before, you've mentioned to me the different spices go with different meats and stuff.
Yeah.
Could you really just touch on that and just kind of give people a brief overview of what goes with what and stuff?
Of course. Well, there's a few different ways of looking at this. Look, salt and everything for me. Salt enhances food. So anything that you want, if you want anything to taste good, salt will make it taste better. That's what it brings out the flavor more. And then you basically start going on the different routes in. So let's say you're cooking something Asian inspired.
Mm-hmm.
You know that chilies, limes, lime leaf, lemongrass, anything from that region will work in that style.
Yep.
Same as Italy, anything Italian is usually going to be good with tomatoes, going to be good with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good with a bit of red wine, whatever.
Yes.
Spain's the same. You'll have, you know, and so that's why, you know, when you think of Ireland, you think of stew, you know, because potatoes, beef, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then things work together naturally. It's the same as like in Mexico.
Cool.
It's chilies.
Yes.
And then we were talking about, basically a good rule of thumb is if you're cooking something, say a curry, which is yellow, you know that because that's yellow and you're adding spices, this is more of a sort of spice thing.
Mm-hmm.
That all yellow spices will go with a yellow curry. So you have ginger, turmeric, curry powder.
Yes.
Any sort of mild looking ones like fennel, ginger, I think I said ginger, fennel, cumin, along M lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going something more along the lines of like a chili con carne or spaghetti bolognese, stick to the red spices.
Yes.
So you have like smoked paprika,
yes,
cayenne, chili powder, mild chili powder. Cajun spices, and that's just a sort of rough rule of thumb. So if you're cooking, if you're doing like, I don't know, let's say a chickpea curry, and you're just guessing, you could just grab onions, and onions and carrots are your basis for most things stew wise.
Yeah,
definitely onions anyway, onion and garlic, sometimes carrots if you like carrots. And then just grab a lot of yellow spices, just, you know, just do start off with like, and another real sort of way to do it is whatever you would add salt to something, add the equivalent of that to a spice. So if you do a pinch of salt, add a pinch of curry powder to start.
Right.
You know, don't have to start throwing on tablespoons and tablespoons, because all it takes a couple of tablespoons extra and we might blow a head off you, or might overpower.
Okay. Right, yes.
Just always add on a wee bit at a time and taste as you go along.
Yes.
You know, you can always, always adjust add, you can there. Never take away.
Yes, I get you.
And that's that, yeah, so, yeah, I think that's that one sort of the spices anyway.
Perfect, perfect. The other thing, there is different pieces of kit out there that can help people improve the meal prep and bulk, cook more in bulk. So one example, well, two examples was, well, for me, I would have had like a bigger pan so I could have oven cooked more chicken at the one go. And the other thing more recently that I've seen people use and they're a great tool is like the slow cooker.
Yeah.
Essential pieces of kit that you should have in the kitchen. This is another area that I want people to kind of be aware of. What would you say is right? You would need these.
What I think you would need, they make your life easier and they make cooking more enjoyable, is you need a good knife.
Yeah.
Without it, you know, you see people going on buying the 3-pound knives from TK Maxx. Look, more than likely, no. We all know now, when you pay more than likely it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Just while we're on this, because I'm actually doing a thing on Instagram this week about this. Even if you go on Amazon, there's a brand, Victorinox, I think I mentioned this before.
Okay.
They're really cheap. I've had Victorinox 10 years and I'm using them every single day in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
If someone just at the house bought a Victorinox, will probably do them the rest of their life. You're talking £20 for a good knife.
Serious.
It's not a lot of money, but there's serious difference between that and one you're buying in Tesco's.
Yes.
But anyway, a good knife, a good sturdy chopping board. Mm-hmm. Probably have a separate chopping board for your raw meat and stuff.
Okay.
Just to cover your back. A thick bisque pan and a thick bisque pot. Basically, if you have a wee thin bisque, whenever you add something, let's say it's smoking hot, and you add a couple of cups worth of onions,
mm-hmm.
it cools down straight away because it's not a good quality pan.
Yes, okay.
A thick bisque will hold the heat
and
start cooking onions rapidly or as fast as you need it to cook them.
Right. But
that's why a good pan, so a good heavy pan, a good heavy pot, and then on top of that, just the proper seasoning, a few trays for the oven. You can get the deep trays mm-hmm. and the shallow ones.
Mm-hmm.
When I say the shallow, I mean the sort of flat ones you would get. Mm-hmm. Like you literally get them for like £3 and Tesco's, the wee trays, and we have loads of them. Now, if you're cooking something like saucy, use a deep one because it'll hold more to start off with.
Yeah.
If you're cooking something like, let's say, a steak or a chicken fillet, use the thin ones because the heat will get there easier, so it'll cook it better.
Mm-hmm.
Where if it's a deep one, it's basically got walls around it.
Yeah.
So it's harder for the heat to penetrate the meat, so it might take longer, it might cook uneven.
Yes.
And I think if you have that sort of stuff, if you have a good pot, good big pot, a good pan, chopping board, knife, and a few trays for the oven,
Would
and tupperware.
The chopping board, would you stick to plastic? Would you go wood? Would you...
Well, if it's only
glass ones as well.
I would never get glass. I just don't like using it personally. It's you know, with a cutting. But I would use a plastic one probably for meat.
Mm-hmm.
And even buy a red one so that it's obvious it's for meat.
Yeah.
And then if you cook a lot of fish, maybe buy a blue one as well. Or you could use the same, you know. It's back to that thing. If you cook it over a certain temperature, you're not cross-contamination won't matter.
Yeah.
But I would have, say, a red and a blue, and then I would have like a big... really good quality wooden one for everything else. Mm-hmm. All my onions, all my veg, all my garlic, because cross-contamination is not going to come from vegetables. Yes. You know, vegetables are never going to poison you. Like, the worst they'll do is if you're cutting an onion, it might taste like garlic. If you're cutting garlic on it before, that's a worst case scenario. Or the carrot might dye the board a wee bit. But yes. Doesn't really matter. Like,
might double as a big cheese board or something like that too.
If you flip it around, definitely. Meats and cheese one.
Excellent.
A guy actually just bought one last week for in here. We're starting to do videos on our Instagram page, recipes and stuff, but like healthy stuff, you know. We're trying to get them all under 15 minute recipes, but I just bought one in the range, it was like 12 quid, and that'll do us forever, like, you know. Good. So it's not much, that's a wooden chopping board, just
right.
So it just gives you don't have to spend £50 on one, you know. It's just
yes,
like, you could
it's keeping you an get eye enough out for them.
£100 would literally sort your knife, your chopping board, your good pots and pans, your trays and your Tupperware. That could literally do your lifetime.
How much are those knives that you're talking about? 20 quid you were saying? Nah, but do you need a set or just...
No, not for the house.
Okay.
If you done lots of cooking, you could probably buy a carving knife and a chopping knife.
Mm.
Carving knife is a serrated edge, mm-hmm. which is amazing for like bread and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's only really...
And what really do you think of sharpening them again? They shouldn't really need...
For the house, probably not, but you can buy these wee things, which are quite handy. I'll try to... Well, Googled after this year. I had the name of it, and then you can link it or something.
Right, okay.
I don't know the name, but it's basically like a wee... It looks like scissors.
Yes.
And you just run the knife down the middle of it. I don't use it personally. I use a stone.
Yes.
They sharpen my knives,
but... Oh, right.
You know, you don't have to be pulling a stone out in the house. They sharpen a knife, they cut up an onion, like...
It'll have cut my hand whenever I was doing it.
Exactly. So, like, I'm using a knife for 30 hours a week. There's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the house, you can buy these wee things. They're really cheap. And I've seen boys in kitchens use them, and they do. They do a good job. Right, they really do.
Yes.
If you're in a rush anyway, and your knife's blunt. But these knives will literally last you probably 6 months without ever needing sharpen.
Yeah, okay.
For how much someone in the house is going to use it.
No problem. The slow cooker, you gave me some good examples of what you could use the slow cooker for.
Yeah. Just as I say, back to that thing we're doing this week, I'm making chickpea curry this week on this recipe. And I show it in the pot, but you can literally put them exact same ingredients on the slow cooker. Good thing about a slow cooker, so you can either do it the night before.
Yes.
Or the morning as you're leaving work.
Yes.
So, but you have to be prepared, obviously, because you know, you don't want to get up at 7 and start cooking your dinner. but let's say you have your onions cut, you get that lazy garlic. I think we might have talked about that last time. Really handy. So you have your onions cut, just that day, couple of handfuls of onions, some lazy garlic, 2-3 tons of chickpeas, 2-3 tons of tomatoes, bit of chicken stock, a couple of spices, so curry powder, turmeric, ginger, bit of salt, and even a few raw chicken breasts on.
Yes.
Put the lid on, that's it, and just turn on the low heat, forget about it. You're coming home to a full bag chicken curry.
Yes.
You know, but that needs fast time. You couldn't cook the hand slow cooker if you needed it in there. It's literally 4 or 5 hours.
And you were on about like an 8-hour chili and stuff as well to me.
Yeah. Time.
So that there's stuff, there's meals like that that they taste better if you give them time to cook.
Curries, like Mexican food and Indian food is sort of known to be cooked for long, and Italian food as well. They're slow cooked. You get more natural sugars out of stuff, especially tomatoes, man. Like tomatoes cooked for ages is amazing. Mm-hmm. But same thing with chili. Throw your raw onions, your garlic, your chopped tomatoes, your paprika, few chilies, whatever, and then just seal off your mince, dump it on the top, and give it a stir, pop a lid on, away you go. A couple hours later, it's going to taste amazing.
You
even throw your beans in at the same time as well, or you can add your beans in later.
You'd recommend, I think they're a great tool to have anyway.
No, we do all, like, 80% of our menu slow cooking.
Yes.
You know.
Really?
Oh, it is. It's good time as well. It's good for your own time, because throw it on there and you forget about it.
Yeah.
You know.
This is the thing. You've got time then to do something else.
Exactly.
Whether if it's someone in home, I'm always thinking about home and that.
Yeah.
Where if it's tidying or doing homeworks or, you know, there's always something to be done at the house, like, and that's just an easy way.
Even if you were prepping for the week ahead, if you throw your full chili in there, very first thing you do, spend 4 hours in, come back to your chili. You've literally got a chili with 10 portions, plus whatever else you've done in them 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You have a week's worth of food in 4 hours. Or what we would do in the house sometimes, we would just get a whole chicken, season it up, and literally just dump the whole chicken into the slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
Some garlic, some onions, and a wee bit of chicken stock. Put the lid on, go out for a walk, go to the park or the lane, whatever. Come back in, and we have a whole roast chicken sitting ready for us. And all we had to do is throw your potatoes in there if you want to, your baby boys. And whatever else is, spend another half an hour in. So you're having a Sunday dinner in half an hour, if you're using it correctly. Yes,
and you're being because prepared.
Whatever liquid comes off your chicken as well,
mm-hmm.
add your busto on that if you want, and you've got a gravy, which is tastes 10 times better than busto and water.
Because it's chicken stock. Chicken. Yes.
Yeah. So you've got chicken stock there as well, so you just add a bit of busto.
Good.
Even take your chicken out of the slow cooker, dump your busto under the slow cooker with the onions and everything,
yeah,
and then just pass it through a sieve. and you'll have an amazing chicken gravy.
You don't need
gravy.
To add any water or something. That's
no,
cool,
that
man.
Should do it. It should, if it's a bit thick, just add a wee tiny bit of boiling water.
Yeah,
simple
brilliant.
As.
There was things like, you mentioned a couple of good companies, even locally, the oil, did the oils, rapeseed oils and stuff. So you like their flavoured oils and stuff as well.
Yeah, they do a Brighter Gold.
That's the brand name.
Limavady. Brighter Gold's the, they're Limavady company. Now, they're in Sainsbury's and everything now.
Yeah.
But they do rapeseed oil. They do a plain, just a rapeseed flavour. And then they have loads of different flavours. They have like a rosemary and garlic. They have chili, which is really spicy.
Mm-hmm.
They have lemon. Then they've done another few. They have a smoked one. They got truffle. They got like Thai.
Yes.
So they have a load there. And that's like half the calories of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a better...
Are you using that to cook, or are you using that to kind of flavour your salads or whatever?
It can be used as dressing. But it's back to that thing. If you're looking to keep calories low, sticking olive oil or any oil on a salad is going to just spike it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends on how much calories you have to play with. If you're trying to lose fat and you're trying to be in a deficit, oil is a killer. But for cooking wise, if I'm cooking a batch of, and this is another reason too, for a batch cooking, if you're cooking a chili for one, you're probably going to use the same amount of oil cooking for one as you are for 10.
Yes.
One spoonful of oil, let's say, is 60 calories of one. But if you cook 10, 6 calories.
Yes.
So you're getting this, the same results, but way lower the calories. And you can add like a rosemary and garlic. So that's putting flavor in there for you.
Yeah.
That you don't have to worry about trying to get in yourself.
Yeah. Was there other companies in that you would use locally that would help, that you use, that you find really, like, there was powders, there was that, there was some powder, some of that Easy Garlic, right, was one, is there, they do a couple of different things, do they?
They're not a local company, but you can buy them in Lidl, you can buy them everywhere. There's a few different, called Easy Garlic, and then there's a Lazy one as well.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but you got Lazy Garlic, Lazy Ginger, Lazy Chili, and... Yeah, it's basically just garlic chopped really fine, then stored in vinegar. But it's just so handy. Like I literally don't buy garlic anymore for the house. We do it for the kitchen, but
to flavor
in the house, just like a teaspoon equals one clove. So even if you're looking at a recipe, it's like 4 cloves of garlic, you just know it's 4 teaspoons.
Yeah.
It's dead easy that way, and it just saves you time and saves your hand smelling, your chopping board smelling, and your knife smelling.
Yeah.
Just straight out of the jar, I put the vinegar on. Vinegar's a really good way of taking richness out of food. But
yeah.
It might be getting a bit complicated then. They start getting on, they taking balancing food as we prefer with vinegar, I remember even when I started chefing, looking at a recipe and it was like, add some balsamic followed by port, and I was like, what is this about? Like, no, I understand now, but
what was it? What was the reason for it?
Oh, I can't remember exactly what it was, but like loads of recipes will call for like wine and stuff. Wine's basically add richness to stuff or add like a deep colour.
Okay.
There's one more thing actually. It's really handy, and I'm using a flat out at the minute. Soy sauce. It nearly gets not a bad rip, but it's sort of,
you can get like a low sodium one.
Yeah, it's very salty, you have all your senses, and one of your senses is umami, you call it. And that's your savoury sense. Excuse me. Basically, if you want anything to taste more savoury, add umami to it. Now, mushrooms is one of them, but soy sauce is a big carrier of it. So anything I'm cooking slow, or I want that real savoury taste, like anything meaty, like a pie or like a stew or a chili, I just add a couple of splashes of soy sauce, and it literally transforms it. And I remember I'm following this chef from America, and he's top chef, and he's like, home cooking, like I don't even seal off meat. The whole idea is sealing off meat's to get that flavor
and seal the flavor in. Yeah.
So if you're cooking a chili and you seal off your mince and add everything, he's like, if I'm cooking the house, I'm just adding my mince in raw.
Yeah.
And soy sauce, because the soy sauce brings the flavor that sealing off your meat brings anyway.
Right.
So I've just saved myself a load of time from sealing off meat.
100%.
And that, I'm still sealing off meat and adding soy sauce, but so low in calories, probably high in salt, as you say.
But like,
it's just buying low sodium. Yes. Choose your sulfur.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying earlier.
Man, that's flipping class. I love all those wee tips, and there's loads of wee golden nuggets in there. But like I've said to you before, we could sit and talk about this all day and go from one sort of food group to another and all. So if we come together and maybe mix something up, and we'll put links in the podcast and links on social media so that we can sort of help get this out and get more detailed information to help people in and around the home and stuff. So
yeah, I was thinking about definitely like not a shop on this, but something I've done before and I got a really good reaction, but we could do like an updated one. Now it's just what you should always have in your
kitchen
cupboard, what you should always have in your fridge,
yes,
just to basically keep you on track, and stop you drifting off. Really, if you have these things, you'll have the recipe, you'll have the ingredients there to create something healthy and fast. We no excuses. Really,
it.
You know,
this is it.
Unless you don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what it's all about. Kind of eliminating all those excuses that we tell ourselves. And guys, you've an important role to look after your health and eat right, sleep and train right. So hopefully this has been informative enough that you got something out of it, and the information that we create from it is going to help you. Where can people find you before we log off here?
Find me on social media, Facebook TLC Catering, and Instagram is TLC Catering Dairy.
Cool.
And that's it, man.
That's it. There you go, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. We will catch you on another episode. Peace out.